Welcome back to another Edge God In podcast. Thank you for pushing the pause button today to join us to edge God in to your mind, your will, your emotions, your behavior. It's our mission statement here at Edge God In to champion your human potential in Christ. We use a couple of different methodologies to do that. Number one, the scriptures that are sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing soul, heart, and marrow, and cutting to the core of who you are, revealing to you and your flesh what your soul always knows, that God adores you and has plans for you. There is no coincidence that you have stumbled upon this particular podcast at this moment on your journey. Today's topic is entitled, Do You Suffer from the Jonah Syndrome? What's the Jonah Syndrome? We're going to explore what the Jonah Syndrome is today. And when you walk away from today's podcast, it is our intention that you understand where you recognize yourself in Jonah's journey, along with expanding your inner strength to ignite the presence of the Lord in your life. So that's our learning objective. And as mentioned before, we pull from adult education methodologies, basically, dear God, how do we make the complex simple, applicable, and sustainable? How do we transfer what we learn and make it sustainable in our lives? When the Holy Spirit presses upon our heart a specific scripture or perhaps a phrase that I'll say today, how do you transfer that? What do you want to do with that? So before we begin, I just want to preface, just kind of setting up the intention from your perspective. Ask the Holy Spirit to press upon your heart what is for you. As I mentioned, there's no accident that you've stumbled across today's podcast, or you went to edgegodin.com, and as you were looking through the different titles and topics, this one stood out to you. God is constantly after you. There's something he has for you today, so be attentive. What is that? When you feel the lights go on, if it's a scripture, a phrase that I say, a reminder, a prayer, and you want to remember that, write that down. If you're not in a position to do so at this time, you can always go back, listen through again. The Holy Spirit is your virtual assistant. You can say, Holy Spirit, help me to remember that. I don't want to forget that point. The goal here is to champion your human potential in Christ, basically to give you the tools and the scripture, the power within the Holy Scriptures, to transform your mind, your will, your emotions in Christ so that you can be more of an ambassador for Christ today than yesterday. We pull from a little bit of neuro-linguistic programming in the words that I use, perhaps a tool that I'll share, as well as some stress management. If you visit edgegodin.com, you'll notice underneath each podcast, there are some resources that you can explore to continue to anchor your relationship with Christ into your behavior. You can also join our podcast on your podcast app on your phone. Simply go to your podcast app, pull it up, and search for Edge God In. And if you haven't already, click the subscribe button. Then you'll get notifications for the new podcast, which we usually, my co-host and I, Dr. Estella Chavu, we usually, it's our intention with the Holy Spirit as our virtual assistant to post a new podcast every Friday. Let's jump in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sweet Jesus, I know that if you don't show up for today's podcast, then my words will fall flat. You are the only one that can make the words that come out of my mouth come alive and accomplish the purpose for which you are sending them. So I pray for everyone that is listening into today's podcast. I pray that their hearts would be open to your presence, to your guidance, that they would seek your face, trust in your love, and know that you will never leave them or forsake them. Give us wisdom into Jonah's journey, one of the minor prophets, with a powerhouse story that perhaps we can mix our own story with. and gain some clarity around this journey of life that we're on as pilgrims moving through this Earth School experience. Help us to walk away with 1 to 3 things that we are dedicated to, that we commit to, transferring into our behavior, so that we align our desire to walk with you with our choices in life. How we choose to speak, the words we choose to meditate upon, and the actions that flow from those words. Out of our heart flow the relationship that we share with you. So we desire to up our faith factor today. Teach us something, Lord. Teach us something new to bring us closer to you today. We're excited because we know when we seek your face, trust in your love, and surrender ourselves to you, that we will not walk away empty-handed from today's experience. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In your most precious name we pray. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Without further ado, let's turn to the minor prophet of Jonah. So Jonah is a quick read. If you haven't read through the book of Jonah, it's actually only 4 chapters long. The book itself was written by Jonah about 760 BC or somewhere after 612 BC, somewhere around that time period. And Jonah is facing a battle of the mind here. God wanted him to do something and he didn't want to do it. So perhaps that's where you recognize yourself today. Perhaps you know that God is asking you to do something, stand for something, speak to someone, resolve a conflict, set healthy boundaries, ask for forgiveness, step up and truly forgive and release someone that perhaps has caused you pain in life. Something that God is asking you to do. What would that be today? What would that look like for you? What is something in your life that perhaps you know that God is asking you to do and you don't want to do it? Perhaps it's in the area of the other part of the story of Jonah, where God was merciful to the people of Nineveh. And Jonah got ticked off at that. Perhaps you're in a place where you are angry because there is someone in your life where God's mercies have flowed into. And it's perhaps someone you don't like too much. And someone that perhaps it hasn't worked as hard as you have, or from your perspective, doesn't deserve the favor of God. Perhaps you're in a situation where you're angry because God is showing mercy and compassion and kindness towards someone that you don't feel deserves it. That's the part of the prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Are you forgiving others the way that God has forgiven you and had mercy in your life? This is a tough one, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I speak from my own personal experience with this. Are you running from God? That's another theme in Jonah that we're going to see in Jonah. Running from God. You don't feel like facing something. Perhaps you know there's something to face in the area of your health, making better choices, being dedicated to moving your body, knowing that a body in motion stays in motion. Perhaps it's saying no and having impulse control to excess sugar. Perhaps it's excess alcohol. What is it that you're running from today? And perhaps it's a pain from your past where you're still oppressed by a vow that you made, and you're the one that's imprisoning yourself. And by a vow, I mean a belief and a decision you made from your timeline to protect you from pain. For example, let's say that you got burned in a relationship and it was very painful. So you made a vow to yourself, I will never allow myself to be vulnerable again. And that's transferring and holding you back from a depth of relationship today. What vows have you made that are still holding you back? You're running. Just like Jonah did. You're running from pain in some way. And God is calling you back to be free. To be set free. One of our foundational verses at Edge God In is Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm. That's an action call. Stand firm. Don't run. Don't allow yourself to be burdened by the yoke of slavery. What is the yoke of slavery? Perhaps it's linked to a vow or a belief you made about yourself because of a past pain and you're running from it. You've been running and you're done running. You're exhausted. You're tired. And God wants to heal you, to keep you safe, to draw you close, to touch your heart and heal your pain today. A lighter story as an example to share with you. When I was 5 years old, I lived in a cul-de-sac, 11 Lone Oak Court cul-de-sac, and my BFF lived right next door to me, Lisa Robbins. Now, I was safe in that cul-de-sac. In fact, when I grew up, we didn't worry too much about seatbelts and helmets and people taking us at that time. Things have changed a bit since then. However, my mom still wanted me to stay close to her, to the house. My parents wanted me to stay close to the house. Why? Because they knew that they could keep me safe, right? So I decided one day, being the strong-willed person that I am, I decided to recruit Lisa Robbins, take my big wheel, and head out beyond the cul-de-sac that was right off of a very busy road, because I knew that there was a candy store that I wanted to get to that was down on the corner, quite a bit of a ways, probably a mile maybe down the way. I thought, no big deal, I got my big wheel. So my little five-year-old legs were just pounding away at my big wheel as I got to the end of the cul-de-sac and recruited Lisa Robbins, and she was following right behind me, and we took a right and we were cruising right along the side of the road as cars were flying by us. And we got about halfway there. We were sweating and just determined to get to that candy store. And I think Lisa said to me at one time, "Do you think we should be doing this?" So perhaps someone in your life, or you heard a voice within you, do you really want to do this? Whatever this is. You hear the voice of God and you ignore it, just like Jonah did. God called Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah, go to Nineveh, tell the people there that they need to repent. Tell them they need to repent or else they will be destroyed, simply put. Jonah didn't want to do that. He was an Israelite. He was angry at fellow Israelites that were turning against God. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. So he decided to hop on his big wheel and head out to Tarshish. Jumped on a boat. There was a big storm. The men on the boat were trying to figure out who the heck sinned or against their God. Why is this storm hitting us? And finally, Jonah acknowledges, it's me. I'm running from God. They throw him overboard. And God actually prepares. It says he prepares. And I want to point that out in verse chapter 1, verse 17. The Lord had prepared, anointed a great fish to swallow Jonah. We're going to come across that word prepared again at the end of the book of Jonah in chapter 4. He prepared. He prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. God prepares for us specific things to keep us safe. So as I was riding my big wheel along the side of the road, God prepared for me a police officer that pulled up behind us, Lisa Robbins and I, and the sirens were going, and we stopped, and I'll never forget it. I stayed on my big wheel. He walked up and said, "Where do you live?" 11 Lone Oak Court. And he said, "Where are you going?" "We're going to the candy shop." And he said, "No, you're not. I'm taking you back to your mom." So he put our big wheels in the back of his police car to put us in the back of the police car at 5 years old and drove us back to my house. My mom had no idea I was gone and was shocked and yet not shocked knowing my personality. But I just remember we had a serious talk and it wasn't a fun conversation. It was fueled by her fear that something could have happened to me. And God is very compassionate. And the reason why he asks us to stay away from those things that will ultimately burn us, we can call it many different things, most commonly known as sin. When we turn against the highest place that God desires for us to stay in life, and we start mucking around in our own desires, in ways that don't honor the person that we're created to be in Christ. He's going to call us back, and he will prepare different things to get our attention and to bring us back. He's after you today. Like I said, there's no mistake that you're listening to this. There's something he wants to show you, something he wants to release in your life so that there's more room for you to accept, receive, and trust in the love that he has for you today. The free, unmerited favor of God. It's grace. So what is it for you? That was my big wheel story as a little five-year-old girl that's been repeated many different times. No, this is what I want. I want the candy at the candy shop. And I'm willing to take the risks, the danger, to get the candy that I want. So what's the candy for you today that you're running from the protection and guidance of God, or something that God has called you to? And you're following another path. You're following wanting to get revenge. You're following wanting to be noticed, esteemed, wanting to make things right, right? Avoid conflict. What is it for you? Because Jonah was running from accountability to God because God was calling him. And he said, no, I don't want to do that. So God prepared the fish to save him. And out of then in chapter two, it's basically a dissertation, a prayer from the belly, from the stomach of the fish, Jonah's prayer. I called out of my trouble and distress to the Lord, and he answered me. God will always answer you. In times of trouble and distress, call upon the Lord, and he will answer you. Cry out for help. God is faithful. So the part of this story that I really want to linger in for today, which is tied to the title for today's podcast, do you suffer from the Jonah syndrome? So the Jonah syndrome includes a couple different factors. One of the factors is, you know, God's calling you to something, to be humble, to ask for forgiveness, to draw closer to him, to leave a certain habit that is not honoring your body, your mind, your spirit. Asking you to for reconciliation with himself, with somebody else. That's between you and God. So I encourage you after today's podcast to find some time to sit before the Lord and say, Lord, I give you permission to sift me. What is it that I'm running from that's preventing me from being aware of your presence and power in my life, that's holding me back from being able to be free, truly free? I remember several years ago, God put a prayer on my heart that I continually pray, because the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, to pray for the success of other people above my own. And this was a prayer that God was after humility in my life, right? And that's a tough Earth School class to pass. I've had many different classes in it that God's allowed me to walk through. And he continually teaches me different components of pride within my own life that hold me back from being able to experience the true freedom and love that comes in that surrendered state of humility. Lord, I don't deserve anything except for to know that you adore me and you have plans for my life. Other than that, I don't deserve anything other than to know that and to move from that power out into the world. So go before God and ask him to show you. Ask him what bold prayer that he wants you to start praying. As I started praying for the success of others over my own, he gave me a lot of good case studies to practice that. And it was painful. It still is painful. And yet I know that God asked me to pray that prayer, pray for the success of others over your own. I have found that when I'm able to stay unattached and truly praying for the success of other people over my own, I am never left empty-handed. And I've been praying this prayer for about 6 years now, five, 6 years. Whatever God calls you to, he is faithful, and he will give you what you need to be successful in that ask, whatever he's asking you to do today. So the Jonah syndrome involves letting go of our own pride, for the going for the candy shop, whatever defines the candy shop for you today, something you feel you deserve, something that is coming from that place of pride inside of you. Now, another aspect of the Jonah syndrome is found in the last chapter of Jonah, chapter 4. It's interesting because in chapter 3, God shows compassion because everyone in all of Nineveh, and I believe it was like 166,000 people, something like that, that made up the town. It was not just like a small little, you know, cow town with just a few people. It was pretty large. In fact, it says in chapter 3, verse 3, that in Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days walk, 60 miles in circumference around. So Jonah went and came back from the fish and said, hey, 40 days, people, and then Nineveh is going to be overthrown, right? Sometimes we love that position of like, hey, if you don't turn, you're going to burn, you know, and we love to be in that position like, oh, I can't wait to see what God's going to do to you because of your choices. We might not use our out loud voice to say those things, but come on. Sometimes, perhaps in the last year, we've said some of those kind of things. And the people of Nineveh, what happened? You didn't think this was going to happen, but they actually believed and trusted in God. They proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth and ashes. And even the king took off his noble clothing and repented. Repent means to turn away from the behavior that is disconnecting you from God and to turn toward God. And so when God saw their deeds, what did he do in chapter 3, verse 10? He saw that they turned from their wicked ways, and God had compassion on them. Now, last chapter, we then moved to chapter 4. It greatly stressed Jonah out, and he was very angry because of God's mercy on the people that deserve to burn. Where do you recognize yourself with that? Perhaps there's a group of people or a person in your life where you feel, no, I don't even want to forgive them, because if I forgive them, then that means it justifies what they did. And that's one of the lies of Satan. He will say to you, don't forgive that person, because he knows you'll be set free. You will be set free. As I've mentioned before, not forgiving another human being is like drinking poison, hoping that person will die. I am the one that suffers from that oppression of pride. So he prayed to the Lord, oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still in the country? That is why I ran to Tarshish, because I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. And when the sinners turn to you, you revoke the sentence of disaster against them. Therefore now, oh Lord, just take my life from me. This is Jonah. So perhaps you recognize that's another aspect of the Jonah syndrome. So we have the pride, the disobedience. I'm going to the candy shop. I don't care what you say. Leaving the comfort and protection of God. The second one is that sense of victimization. Jonah chapter 4, verse 3. Therefore now, O Lord, just take my life. It's better for me to die than live. Can't stand your mercy and kindness toward these people who deserve to die. Perhaps that's you today. The Lord said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry? Jonah didn't answer him. He just ran again. He went out of the city and sat to the east of it, and there he made himself a shelter and sat underneath it. Now here we have that word prepared again. So we saw it in chapter 2, we see it again in chapter 4. The Lord prepared a plant, and it grew up over Jonah. This is God prepares protection for us. This is one of your takeaways, is to understand that God will prepare protection for you when you turn to him. And even when you don't, I was still on my path to the candy shop, going as fast as my little 5-year-old legs would go to get to that candy shop, and a policeman came up behind me. Prepared protection. Ask the Lord to show you where he is preparing protection for you or has prepared protection for you. It's an incredible awareness when you see how God prepares protection for us, prepares a fish to protect you from the waves of this world, prepares a plant to protect you from the hot sun that's burning you, around you, to be a shade over his head to spare him from discomfort. God desires to spare you from discomfort. So Jonah was really happy about the plant. In fact, he was so happy about the plant that he actually started to esteem the plant more than the people. And that's the third aspect of the Jonah syndrome. So you run from God, you have victimization, and then you actually have a disorderly perception of life. You give more attention to the non-essentials, right? You give more of your time and attention toward things that are not people, they're things. They might be power, they might be positions, they might be popularity, they might be passions. What's your plant? Jonah was extremely happy about the plant, and he was extremely angry that God spared people. God prepared also a worm. Now, understand this. He does prepare the things of comfort for us in life to save us, to protect us, to bring us back home. He is constantly going after the prodigal child within us and wanting us to come home. Come home. Come back to me. And he will use worms, as he did in Jonah's life. God prepared a worm in the morning, and it attacked the plant. What's happening here? God prepared a worm to attack the attachment. Jonah was attached to the plant. He wasn't attached to God at this moment and God's compassion toward people. He was attached to the wrong thing. What attachments do you have today that perhaps or have had that God sent a worm and took it away from you? Something happened. For it's not that he creates the tragedy. What he does is he brings about a greater good than had it not even happened. So in this situation, it's hot where Jonah is, to say the least. The Sahara winds and the desert winds coming off the water create just crazy heat that's unbearable. And God prepared a worm so he could feel the heat. So God will prepare worms to eat away at the attachments we have that have hijacked our identity. So what are you attached to today that is part of your running from God? Because when we run from God, we're always running to something. I was running to the candy shop. What are you running to? Is it the drug of approval? The need to be right, liked, understood? When we're running from God, we're usually running to something. And underneath the whole thing, there's usually a fear that's attached to it. I'm not safe here, God. You're not answering my prayers. So there, I'm going to do this. So verse 7, chapter 4, God prepared a worm. And when morning dawned the next day, it attacked the planet, withered. When the sun came up, God prepared a scorching east wind. So we have a couple things. God will make us very uncomfortable to get our attention, because he's after our soul. The length of days is not a concern to God as much as the condition of the soul. Man looks at the outer appearance. God is after your heart today. Jesus is after you. He desires to draw close to you, he waits for you to give him so much as a glance out of the pit of attachments in your life. That's all he needs, a mustard seed, a glance, a half-eaten fish and a few crumbs from a loaf of bread. And he will multiply that faith to save your soul. God prepared a worm. God prepared the scorching east wind to shake Jonah up. Again, we're pulling from Hebrews chapter 12. If you haven't read Hebrews chapter 12, sit with the Lord before that one, because you will learn that God disciplines those he loves He chastises and punishes those he accepts as sons and daughters. Why? So that we may enjoy the inheritance of his kingdom. Just like my mom chastised me for running to the candy store and putting myself in danger, she chastised me because she loves me. She doesn't want me getting hit by a car on my big wheel. How much more is the love of the Father for you and me? So yes, he'll send a worm. He'll send a scorching east wind, and perhaps that's what you're experiencing today. Ask, what is this wind about? What do you want to teach me here, dear God? To draw me closer to you, to bring me back home. When the sun came up, God prepared a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on Jonah's head. So he fainted, and he wished to die. Again, second phase of the Jonah syndrome. You run from God, then you have victimization, woe is me. And then you have your attachments, and then God usually sends at that point, because he adores you, some worm, some east scorching wind, or some sun to beat down on your head to wake us up. Then God said to Jonah, do you have a good reason to be angry about the loss of this plant? And he said, I have a very good reason to be angry. Angry enough to die. So perhaps you've been there. Believe me, I have totally been here. I remember when they told me I had more cancer than they originally thought, and I had to backtrack on a bunch of surgeries. I had 14 surgeries in less than 2 years, and I lost it. I was so mad. And I remember calling out to God, you might as well just take my life right now, because I'm done. I can't do this. And I'll never forget crashing through my victimization, the second phase of the Jonah syndrome. Crashing through my sense of victimization, I heard, you are right. You can't do this. And I can. Are you willing to trust me? Jesus Christ of Nazareth does his greatest work in the eye of the storm. If we allow him in. I have good reason to be angry, and angry enough to die. Do you recognize yourself with that statement that Jonah made? Now listen, this may sound silly as you're reading this. Like, you might say, I mean, come on, that's a plant. Why would he be so angry that God took his plant away? You've never been in the kind of heat that Jonah was in. It's amazing what happens when we're isolated on the island. The things that push our buttons. So what's pushing your buttons today that's causing you to run from God, be in a state of victimization, and have false idols or attachments apart from God? Then the Lord said, you had compassion on the plant, which you did not work and which you did not cause to grow, which came up overnight and perished overnight. Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 people who do not know the difference between their right hand or their left, as well as many blameless animals? What's God saying here? Jonah, you're attached to the wrong things. Be attached to me. Have only one attachment, my heart to your heart, your ear to my mouth. You had compassion on a plant. I had compassion on people. So my coaching question for you in this, in light of these scriptures, are you putting things before people? And when we're in that place of victimization, which I have been many times, why, God, is this happening? Or comparison, or envy, or jealousy. We need some divine assistance. What does that look like for us? Divine assistance. I'm going to end with the divine assistance so that you can overcome the Jonah syndrome of running from God mucking around in a state of victimization Why are you showing compassion and favor to them and not me? And then creating attachments. Well, God, you're not showing up for me, so I'm going to create myself a golden calf. Or an attachment of needing to hear back from someone in an email. I've totally been attached to that before, particularly professionally. I'll send something out. If I don't hear back from someone, then I'll start making up story if I'm not careful. Fortune telling, catastrophizing, mind reading. That's Satan's lair. He loves to help to ignite the fortune telling, mind reading, catastrophizing, all or nothing thinking. They're not getting back to you because they're not interested. They don't like you. What is it for you today? So let's look at our source of strength to overcome the Jonah syndrome. In 2 Samuel, there's an incredible scene that's often overlooked, and it's when the ark is brought back to Jerusalem. 2 Samuel 6, the ark was hijacked, and then it's brought back to Jerusalem. David was a huge instigator of that. The ark is coming back in chapter 13. When they were carrying the ark of the Lord, they'd taken six steps. David was wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sounds of trumpet. He was dancing with all his might. He was, in other translations, he was leaping before the ark of the Lord, the presence of God. Now, what was the ark at the time? It had the staff of Moses, the Ten Commandments. It was known as the presence of the Lord. The ark, the presence of the Lord was in the Ark of the Covenant, around the Ark of the Covenant. It contained the presence of God. Even though we know that God is everywhere, this was a specific gift that God had given mankind to come even closer, the Ark of the Covenant. David leapt for joy in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. He danced in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant. Let's flip forward to Luke 1:41. Same scene, same themes, different containers. In Luke chapter 1:41, Mary goes to visit Elizabeth, who is with child with John the Baptist. Mary's pregnant with Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, holding the presence of God, his son, within her. What happens when Elizabeth's child, John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, just as David was doing, preparing the way of the presence of the Lord in the Ark of the Covenant? It says in Luke 1:41 that the child within Elizabeth's stomach leapt for joy, leapt within her womb. The same thing, same translation, original translation, as what David did before the Ark of the Covenant, 2 Samuel chapter 6. This is powerful. Stay with me on this, because I'm going to pull this all the way back to where your strength comes from. So Mary is the new Ark of the Covenant, carrying Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant. John the Baptist, who was sent to prepare the way of the Lord, leapt for joy in the womb of Elizabeth in the presence of the new Ark of the Covenant, Mary, who carried Jesus in the presence of Jesus Christ in Nazareth. Let's take it one step further. Paul says that we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, that he's making his appeal through us. We're also told that we have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth living within us. Through our baptism, our fellowship with the Lord, through the sacraments, through the gift of his Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. I won't leave you alone, Jesus said. I will send my messenger to you. He will guide you. He will be within you. The presence of the Lord would come upon the ark in the Old Testament, come upon people In the New Testament, it is a much different distinction. The Holy Spirit dwells within us as believers of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, give us the power of your Holy Spirit within us to overcome the Jonah syndrome of running from you, of victimization, of attachment, so that we can have compassion just as you had compassion for us. And you died on the cross for us. Help us to love our neighbors as you have loved us, to forgive as you have forgiven us. Forgive us for all of the times when we refuse to offer the same compassion and grace and love that you constantly extend to us on a daily basis. You have given us the gift of your Holy Spirit. We are literally walking tabernacles, walking arks of the covenant, but you dwell within us constantly. And yet we limit the power that you have and can have within our lives because of the Jonah syndrome. We run from you, Lord. We play the victim card. Why me? I have good reason to be angry, angry enough to die. And that leads for us to say, fine, I'm going to go to the candy shop because that's more attractive to me than what you're offering me. And you constantly call us back with compassion, just as you did the prodigal son and his brother particularly, who was angry because the father was compassionate to the prodigal son after he had been lost and he was found. The father showed much compassion to that prodigal son's brother when he was angry that the father was being merciful. This is a condition that we have, Lord. It's so easy for us to get angry when you're not doing what we want you to do or taking revenge the way you want us to take. We want you to take revenge on wickedness that we see around us. Forgive us, Lord. We know not what we do. And we pray for your grace of redemption. Help us to encounter your love and compassion personally. And to remember that we do carry your presence within us. And that is our victory over running from you, victimization, attachments that lead to very unhealthy, addictive behaviors in life, including negative thinking. Deliver us, Lord, and help us to be attentive when you do send the worms, the scorching east winds, and the sun to get our attention. What are you trying to teach us today, Lord? What do you want us to let go of? What do you want us to confess, to release within our lives so that we can truly, truly be free in you? And without even considering resistance, like the snowflake moves on a dime depending on where the wind goes, no resistance. We pray for that kind of surrender. So wherever the Holy Spirit moves us, we want to be the people you want us to be. We want to go where you want us to go. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. So enjoy your gift of life, as well as your time of reflection over what we just spoke about in the Jonah syndrome. Read the book of Jonah. That's your homework. It's only four chapters. Where do you recognize yourself? Remember the three steps or the three specific phases of the Jonah syndrome: running from God, playing the victim card because God's showing compassion toward other people or not showing you the same kind of kindness and restoration as you witness him doing in other people's lives. Perhaps you're witnessing wickedness expand. You're angry. You want God to take people out. Releasing your attachments, coming back and linking to the compassion. And igniting and acknowledging the strength of God within you. You have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ of Nazareth from the grave. If you have yet to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to do so today. It's just a glance, just an invitation. Dear Lord, I've sinned. I followed ways to the candy store way too many times. Bring me back to your heart. I invite you into my life. Take over. Show me what it's like to walk with you. I want to be your disciple. In Jesus' name, amen. Visit us at edgeguidein.com for more topics. Again, if today's topic really touched you and there's something in there that the Lord is speaking to your heart, don't wait. Write down your action step and your commitment and follow through with that. Have it on a sticky note so that you can align your behavior with what you desire to see shift in your life, to step away and release yourself from the Jonah syndrome. Please share this podcast if you found value in it to your friends, to your family. Spread the word of God. We're called to encourage one another as long as it's called today. And I look forward to our next podcast together. Again, visit us at edgeguidein.com. You'll also find a one sheet to capture your learnings from today's podcast.